Welcome to Torah Imecha Parasha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Parashat Re'eh. In Parashat Re'eh, we really begin to understand the title that Chazal assigned to Sefer Dvarim, Mishneh Torah, the repetition of the law. While in the Sefer until now, we have seen much review of the events of earlier Sfarim, in Parashat Re'eh, there is a very distinct emphasis on the laws. Parashat Re'eh contains no fewer than 55 mitzvot, 17 positive commandments, and 38 prohibitions. While time does not allow us to review all 55 commandments, it is possible to group many of them into several categories. The overwhelming majority of the mitzvot in this parasha, 21 of them, relate directly to the mikdash, referred to throughout this parasha as Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, the place which Hashem will designate. 10 mitzvot relate to forms of tzedakah, charitable giving, including the mitzvah of tzedakah itself, as well as ma'asrot given to help support the Levi and the poor, caring for an Eved Ivri, both during his tenure as a servant and upon his release, and laws pertaining to loans that are to be forgiven during the seventh year. A further 10 mitzvot relate to the prohibition of following false prophets and being swayed by those who might try to incite us to Avodah Zarah, including what to do in case of an entire city that is indicted in such a violation, called an ir nidachat. 5 mitzvot relate to the Shalosh Regalim, the 3 pilgrimage festivals, including the mitzvah to rejoice on the holidays, V'samachta b'chagecha. The author of the Sefer HaChinuch notes that Hashem is teaching us here that human beings by nature require happiness. Just as the body needs food at intervals, so too the soul needs at least doses of happiness. And if we can't achieve this on our own, Hashem gives us opportunities through the Moadim, the holidays, to contemplate the miracles that Hashem has performed for us and to rejoice in our connection with Him. While much of the parasha is devoted to details of these mitzvot, there are several big ideas interspersed throughout the specifics, and I'd like to discuss 2 of these fundamental principles. First, almost at the precise center of the parasha, we find a mitzvah framed by 2 thematic statements. In Perek Yod Daled, Psukim Aleph Ad Bet, chapter 14, verses 1 to 2, we read, Banim atem l'Hashem Elokechem, lo titgodedu v'lo tasimu karcha b'ineinichem lamet. You are children of the Lord your God. Do not lacerate yourselves, nor make bald patches in the middle of your heads in mourning for the dead. These were common practices among the pagans at that time. The pasuk continues, Ki am kadosh ata l'Hashem Elokecha, uvecha bachar Hashem liot lo la'am skula mikol ha'amim asher al pnei ha'adama. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a treasured people for Him from among all the nations on the face of the earth. So we have here the specific prohibition of cutting ourselves and tearing our hair out as an expression of grief, framed by these 2 broad statements, you are children of Hashem and you are a holy people. Rashi explains the connection as follows. Don't cut yourselves in mourning for the dead as the Amorites do, for you are children of Hashem, and as such, it behooves you to be pleasant-looking and not cut up or defaced. The Ramban points out that if this is really the import of the text, then it must apply at all times and not simply to the expression of grief. So while he rejects this as the simple pshat, it does remain applicable as a broad concept. Our outer appearance should reflect the inner reality of our status as children of Hashem. Nevertheless, the Ramban interprets the simple meaning of the text in accordance with the commentary of the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra writes as follows, Achar she'tid'u she'atem banim l'Hashem, v'hu ohev etchem yoter me'ha'av le'ben, al titgodedu al kol ma she'yaseh, since you know you are children of Hashem, and that He loves you even more than a human parent loves a child, don't cut yourselves in consequence of anything that He does, for everything He does is for the best. כאשר לא יבינו הבנים הקטנים מעשה אביהם, רק יסמכו עליו, כן תעשו גם אתם. Even if you don't understand something that Hashem does, just as a young child may not understand that everything a parent does is in his best interest, yet he relies on the parent because he is his parent, so too, we must rely on Hashem as a child does on a parent. And the Ramban adds that while it is certainly natural and permissible to cry over the death of someone close to us, especially in a difficult circumstance, such as when a young person dies, it is important to remember that everything comes from Hashem, and therefore it behooves us not to grieve excessively, but to take comfort in the fact that as it comes from Hashem, everything that Hashem does for us is for the best, and somehow Hashem knows that this is the right thing at the right time. Based on a grammatical technicality, Chazal interpreted the phrase lo titgodedu homiletically to mean lo ta'asu agudot agudot, don't break into factions among yourselves. We are all children of Hashem. No matter what our politics are, no matter what country we live in, what nusach we daven, we are all members of a nation that is sanctified to God. The Rambam, Maimonides, cites this pasuk in Hilchot Matnot Aniyim, stating that we are all children of Hashem, members of one family, which is why Jews can always rely upon one another in times of distress, for we are hated and persecuted by the nations of the world. This worldview is expressed so profoundly in a short video that has been circulating over the past few months on social media, in which an Israeli media personality, Noam Yaakovson, visited the monument known as Shoes on the Danube in Budapest, memorializing the thousands of Jews shot into the Danube River by the Hungarian Arrow Cross in 1944 and 45. And the memorial casts in iron shoes that the Jews had been instructed to remove and leave on the riverbank. And it placed these shoes all along a stretch of the Danube River. And in this video, Noam points to the shoes one at a time, saying, the video's in Hebrew, Ze na'al shel smolani, ze shel yimani. This is the shoe of a leftist. This one belonged to someone on the right. This was the shoe of one who supported political overhaul. This one, not so much. This was the shoe of a Haredi. This one, a secular atheist. Our enemies do not distinguish. Therefore, it behooves us to remember, even when there are differences among us, that we are all children of one God, members of one family. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal notes that while this set of psukim opens with the mandate, Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, you are children of God, and therefore share a common destiny, a unity of vision, hope, faith, prayer, and way of life, the injunction of Lo Titgodedu is also bracketed by a second statement, Ki am kadosh ata l'Hashem Elokecha, u'becha b'char Hashem liyot lo skula mikol ha'amim. This statement has two distinct clauses. One, Ki am kadosh ata l'Hashem Elokecha, you are a holy nation unto God. And second, Becha Bachar Hashem. Hashem has chosen you as his treasured nation. Rashi explains that there are two types of sanctity addressed here. One is a national holiness inherited from our forefathers, and a second in which each individual is accorded sanctity in his own right. Rav Soloveitchik elaborates on Rashi's teaching as follows. Quote, the sanctity of the patriarchs is passed on by inheritance from Abraham and from Moses, and no sinner has it in his power to break it. However, when the individual sins, he blemishes the element of sanctity which is dependent on his responsibility to keep to the conditions of the covenant. End quote. Thus, a person may distance himself as an individual from observance of the commandments, but he never loses his halachic status as a Jew, as a member of the holy nation. This concept of chosenness leads us to the second theme I'd like to explore with you today. I mentioned earlier that the majority of the mitzvot in this parasha relate to practices in the Beit HaMikdash, which the Sefer HaChinuch terms Beit HaBechira, which translates literally as the house of choice. This term is based on the phrase found 18 times in our parasha, HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, the place which Hashem will designate or choose. This phrase can refer broadly to the city of Yerushalayim, or more specifically, to the site of the Mikdash. And this raises a couple of questions. First, what is the benefit of serving Hashem in one specific place? And second, if it is so beneficial, why conceal the name and location? In answer to the first question, Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch explains that having a central location dedicated to the service of God fosters national unity. Optimal service of Hashem takes place within a community, not each person unto himself. For this reason, the place has to be designated by Hashem himself, not chosen by a specific individual or even a shevet, a tribe, who might be motivated by their own subjective needs or desires. God indicates for us the place that is objectively the best situated for his service, and there we join together to serve him as a unified people. The Kli Yakar notes that another advantage of Hashem being the one to designate the place is that it's the nature of human beings to second-guess our choices. We might always be asking ourselves, did I really choose the best spot? Maybe the next hilltop would have been better. Maybe we should have built the Mikdash within sight of a mighty waterfall or against the backdrop of the magnificent dunes in the desert. He explains that we must remember that it's not the place that provides the holiness. It's the presence of Hashem that defines the place as holy. Therefore, the place must be the one chosen by God to rest his presence there. The Sefer HaChinuch notes that from a pedagogical perspective, it's most effective to have one place to which we can direct our thoughts and feelings in prayer and service of God, rather than just doing our best to connect to him wherever we happen to be, which is much more challenging. And obviously, this relates to an ideal situation in which the Beit HaMikdash would be standing and we would have the opportunity to go there and worship together with the entire nation. However, even in a less than ideal situation, in the exile and diaspora, we can rely on images of the Mikdash and the Kotel to inspire us as we pray. And these help us to focus our thoughts toward Hashem no matter where we may be. In answer to the second question, why was the place not revealed to us directly? The commentators teach that there is a value to our quest for the place designated by God. Rather than handing it to us on a silver platter, God demands of us in Perek Yud Bet, Pasuk Hey, chapter 12, verse 5, Ki im el hamakom asher yivchar Hashem Elokechem mikol shivtechem lasum et shmo sham l'shichno tidrishu uvatashama. You shall serve Hashem exclusively in the place which Hashem will designate from among all your tribes to place his name there. You shall inquire after his dwelling and come there. Rav Soloveitchik explains the text based on the commentary of the Ramban, who offers two explanations. Firstly, Ramban explains, according to the Sifrei, that we must seek and find the place, and only after our own diligent efforts will a prophet reveal the correct location, confirming our own conclusion. And in fact, this is what we find happened with regard to David HaMelech, who first studied all the relevant biblical texts and the geography of the land to determine the location for the Mikdash, and only after he determined that Har HaMoriah was the place did the prophet God confirm his choice. And the Rav associates this effort with developing the spiritual sensitivity necessary for all of us to distinguish between the holy and profane that must permeate the life of a Jew. The Ramban offers a second Kabbalistic explanation, that this mandate of l'shichno tidrishu demands that man search for God within the world. In every experience he is confronted with, he must recognize the presence of the Almighty. God's abiding presence in the world can only be revealed through our discernment. We have to develop the perception necessary to recognize the presence of Hashem in our daily lives. It is significant that Parashat Re'eh is always read on the Shabbat preceding Rosh Chodesh Elul or on Rosh Chodesh itself, should it fall on Shabbat. A famous parable for the month of Elul was taught by the Baal HaTanya in Likutei Torah on this week's parasha. The month of Elul is likened to a time when the king is traveling throughout his kingdom, during which all the residents of the country come out to the fields to greet the king, and he receives them graciously, listening attentively to all their requests. Later, when he returns to his palace, he will no longer be so easily accessible to all his subjects. The Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal encourages us to take advantage of this time period, to seek Hashem while he is readily accessible to us. HaMelech Basadeh, the king has left his palace. The presence of Hashem is palpable throughout the world. All we have to do is seek him out. May we merit to seek and find the presence of Hashem in all our endeavors, and may he answer our prayers that he once again make his presence manifest to all. B'makom asher yivchar Hashem l'shaken shmosham, b'mehirah b'yameinu, amen. Thank you for learning together.